I've always, since I was young, always dreamed of one of two things, either being a disc jockey, right? I used to have all the, like a DJ, like a radio DJ. I got a Jeep. I don't need a horse.
Booyah.
Booyah.
No, he got me flustered now. A DJ, a radio DJ, used to grab up my CDs, right, and pop them in, and if I had a song I liked, just,
and now, on the new.
The other thing was having my own talk show. That would be really cool, to be able to have your own talk show. So today, I want you to indulge me, humor me, be my studio audience, because today we're going to have a little talk show. Only I'm not giving the message. Rick is giving the message. So give Rick a hand. And yes. And we're going to pray that that Rick actually, you know, usually we say that when Rick comes up here, it's like a 10-minute deal. You guys beat the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Catholics to the restaurant. So today we're going to try and stretch it out a little bit, stretch him a little thin, hopefully get a little bit more out of him today. All right, so can I pray over you real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for Rick's willingness to preach today and to give the message that's been on his heart. Father, obviously you've put it on his heart for a reason, and everyone in this room you've brought here today for a reason. And I pray that the message would relay from him to these people, Father, and filtered through you, and that you would penetrate their hearts today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so today we're going to talk about fear and the different types of fear. I didn't know that there were different types of fear. I always thought fear of the Lord was fear of the Lord, just I got to be afraid of God, right? But Rick, you say there are two kinds of fear.
Yeah, there's two different kinds of fear. One is fearing God, and the other is the fear of the Lord, like Jason mentioned earlier. One of them is unhealthy, and it causes us to separate ourselves from God, while the other draws us closer to his love and helps give us a reverence for God, which is the we'll get into later, but it gives us the fear of the Lord that Jason was referring to. One's formed out of fear of God's judgment and punishment, while the other's grown out of knowledge of God and of his character and of his power and his authority in our lives.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot for just a minute. Can you give me an example of maybe an unhealthy fear?
An unhealthy fear would be fearing that everything that I've ever done in my past makes me unworthy for God to love me, and that all that I have to look forward to in life is his judgment at the end of my life.
Okay, how many of you have had that mindset before? Because we've all got a past, right? So every one of us are probably thinking, oh my gosh. But God says that doesn't matter, right? I mean, that fear shouldn't be a part of our lives. So, okay, go on.
I'm going to look at Exodus 20:20. After the Israelites had received the Ten Commandments from Moses, they were afraid, they were terrified of thunder, lightning, and smoke that signaled God's presence. So they're shaking in their boots because they hear this thunder and they see the lightning and they see the smoke about them that's signaling God's presence, and all of a sudden they're terrified. They have that unhealthy fear. But Moses comes to them and says in Exodus 20:20, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning." And I want to ask you, did it work? Because skip ahead to chapter 32 of Exodus, and you hear about what the Israelites did with the golden calf. And so they didn't have that healthy fear of the Lord. They were terrified, and then he was with Moses, and so they didn't have a reason to be terrified anymore. So they went ahead and did their own thing because they didn't carry a healthy fear of God with them.
Okay, real quick question. How many of you, go back to Exodus 20:20. It's in your bulletin. If you're marking it up, underline the word afraid, and then circle the word fear.
Fearful up here.
Fearful up here.
full diaper.
Wow. So don't be afraid, but fear the Lord. Okay. How many of you, when trouble comes your way, how many of you kind of, you get into maybe anxiety, or you get into a fear mode like, oh my gosh, this thing's coming on me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do with it. Okay, so in Exodus 20:20, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Then he says, God has come to test you. Okay, so when you're going through all of these trials and things like that, God has come to
test us.
Did God come to tempt you?
No.
Okay, so God has come to test you. So this is going to bring about what? Endurance. This is going to bring about refinement. This is going to bring about possibly revival. But it says, do not be afraid. And then it says, God has come to test you so that what? What's the verse say? So that what?
So that the fear of the Lord
of God will keep you from sinning. Okay, so that's a different kind of fear. And that's what Rick is talking about. Don't be afraid of the things that come against you, because God is only testing. Yeah, and God's only testing you because he wants the best for you, right? Do you agree? Okay, so if God is only testing you, then you have to know that at the end of this thing that's coming at you, at the end of the trial, at the end of the tribulation, there is a light. At the end of the tunnel, there's this light. Okay, so, but do not be afraid, because God has come to test you so that the fear of God will keep you from sinning. I had to look up, because I'm a Hebrew nut, right? Not Greek, Hebrew. I had to look up the Hebrew word for fear, and it's yira. Say yira.
Yira.
Yeah, you got to go with the ah. Yira.
Yira.
Kind of like hurrah, but yira. Okay.
Wait, that's an army thing. Hurrah. Hurrah. Yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah. So this is what yira meant. Fear, terror, fearing. Fear, terror. Awesome or terrifying thing, object causing fear. Fear of God, respect, reverence, piety, revered. Those were all in this meaning of yirah. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you have terror but also have respect and reverence at the same time?
Well, it's very interesting, because as you were reading that, I was thinking, in the first one, look at what the Israelites have displayed. Mm-hmm. Fear and terror, right? And then awesome and terrifying thing, the object causing the fear. Well, that's God. And fear of God, respect, reverence, and piety. Whoops. Something was missing there. And revered. So it just in Exodus 20:20, we can kind of see all of those definitions played out. But I think the answer to your question, Jason, is in Proverbs 9 and 10. And this is the New Living Translation. And it says this: the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. So looking back at Exodus 20:20, where I said that that they had lacked the fear of God, respect, reverence, and piety, because they lacked that, they didn't have good judgment, and they went on to create the different things, the golden calf, out of all of the different jewelry and things that they had collected there. And instead, they stuck with fear, terror, and fearing, which was the unhealthy part of fear.
So you had brought up, when we were discussing this, you had brought up another proverb, and it was Proverbs 1:7, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you're saying that because they had an unhealthy fear of the Lord, they didn't want to respect him, or they didn't want to revere him, that's when it resulted in the golden calf. Fools despise the... Yeah,
because clearly the scripture is telling us that knowledge is important to having the proper fear of the Lord. Without that knowledge, you're not going to have the reverence that you should have. But that knowledge is not knowledge. I mean, it is. It includes that. But it's heart knowledge of God. So that's being in his word and studying and the different things that are going to give you knowledge of what we talked about in the beginning, God's character and his power and authority. Those are the things that should be revered, not be terrified of. So knowledge is the beginning of that. Fools despise instruction. Moses came down and told them in Exodus, this is what to do, and this is where I'll be. And when he came back, he went, what happened? What did you do? You know, so they didn't have that. Proverbs 1:28-29 says this, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. So God wants us to fear him, but he doesn't want us to fear him in the way of terror and anxiety. He wants us to fear him in the way of reverence and respect for him and his character.
Okay, so how many of you now are going, I have no clue what that fear looks like? I mean, because when I think of fear, I still think of fear, terror, you know, I got to be afraid somehow, some way. How many of you want to know what real fear is supposed to look like when fearing the Lord? So, Rick, you've got the answer. I
do. Fear of the Lord is an inward attitude of humble reverence towards God in light of his self-revelation that results in outward expression of Christ-like behavior. So in English, it's an inward attitude that causes you to have outward obedience to God so that you know his character, you know what he's about, you know what he stands for, and you know that above all, he loves you. And out of that love, you can't help but want to be obedient to the things that God has for you, to the plan that God has for you, and for the things that he's calling you to.
Very good. So you say that we have to have inward attitude, and that's humility. Can you give me an example of maybe humility? No.
Jason, look in the mirror.
We didn't discuss this.
No. No, it inward humility...
Hang on just a second.
Yeah, right? Humility is just not being so proud of yourself or proud in general. It's being humble. It's being... it's having the desire to put others before yourself. It's so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think humility means that we have to walk in self-pity?
No.
Do you think humility means that we can have confidence?
Yes.
So how many of you think confidence seems like arrogance sometimes? Yeah. It's hard to watch somebody walk around in confidence, but when we're confident... See, what Rick is talking about is we can be confident in the Lord, and because we're confident in the Lord, that should allow us to walk with our head high. Not that we're confident in ourselves, but that confidence in the Lord can also be humility. So, okay, inward attitude is humility. So that produces an outward obedience. So
as God reveals his character and his majesty and his power and his holiness, we're humbled on the inside before him because we recognize the fact that we're not all of those things necessarily that he embodies, but we're striving towards that, right? So when we realize that it's only God then that deserves our devotion and our reverence, and it's from that humility that our outward obedience comes out. It's because that's the thing that we desire. We want to be obedient. And so the two things are linked together. I don't think that you can have a fear of the Lord that's the proper fear of the Lord and be reverent to God and not have inward humility.
Yeah.
because the presence of inward humility to me is kind of the expiration of pride. Mm-hmm. The pride doesn't exist where humility exists. So the two of them are linked together. You have to have both.
You said that God is worthy of how did you put that? We realize that God is worthy of our devotion and reverence. How do we know that God is worthy of our devotion and reverence?
By understanding the grace that God has given us in our salvation and in the forgiveness of our sins and striving to have that relationship with him that goes beyond just being here on Sunday and hearing a message and feeling good. It's about developing that relationship. You know, like when Jen and I first started dating, I did just about anything I could to woo her and make her happy and to help her to see how I felt about her. And I tried to do it in all kinds of different ways. And that's kind of the same thing in our relationship with God. We have to hear his word. We have to feel his presence. We have to experience God in our life every day to be able to understand that relationship and understand what he has for us and how he feels about us. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, then we then understand that he is the one that's worthy of our devotion and reverence. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a question, but I want you to ponder this question also. What was that first moment? Can you remember that first moment when you encountered God that God sort of wooed you because he wanted to draw you in?
Yeah, I was heading toward county jail. I had actually attempted suicide, and by the grace of God, failed. And I thought, if I'm this big of a turd that I have committed this crime and I'm on my way to jail, why would Jesus rescue me from taking my life? Mm-hmm. And I came to just feel overwhelming presence that he had a plan for me and that I had to then commit the rest of my life to finding out what it was. Mm-hmm. And I was so overcome with emotion that when I was able to finish driving and get to where I needed to be, I started making phone call after phone call, apologizing, admitting what I had done, and committing myself to being the person that I had not been before. Mm-hmm.
So that encounter with God is what sort of changed your heart. Do you feel like now that you're in the position that you are, that you have to fear God for what you're doing in your life now, for your actions, and now that you have him?
By which fear?
Do you feel like you have to be afraid of God?
No, not at all.
So even if you screw up, do you have to be afraid of God?
No.
Okay.
No, because God's grace covers that. Mm-hmm. And that's what changed that's how I know that I have a changed heart, because I don't want to use that flippantly as an excuse to be able to do stupid stuff. My sin nature makes it so that I'm going to do stupid stuff. I try not to do them on purpose, but when I do, how I know that God is in me is because I feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't even feel bad about it because of the guilt that I have for doing whatever stupid thing I did, but because I've sinned against God, because I feel like I hurt God's feelings. I feel like I pounded the nail in Jesus' hand myself with the stupid stuff I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. So every time I goof up, when I feel that, I know that God's grace has got me.
Mm-hmm. How many of you know that you got God's grace? Amen. Amen. So with that said, then, how many of you know that I don't have to be afraid of the Lord now? Right? How many of you know that God, He wants to be my daddy. He wants to be my friend. He wants to be my savior. He wants me to not feel like I have to hide. You remember Adam when he sinned, Adam and Eve when they both sinned. What did they do? They hid. So we don't have to hide anymore because God sees us through and through, and yet he still loves us. He still has that grace that he's poured out upon us. Okay, you mentioned to me Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 13. Talk about that.
Yeah, just real quick, though. Always know that God's grace is bigger than your sin. Amen. Always. Mm-hmm. Okay. Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 13 says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him, and take your oaths in his name. All throughout that scripture, we can see the way that God said to fear the Lord in the beginning, right? He didn't mean to be afraid of the Lord. He meant to revere the Lord, have reverence for him. And then he said, write these commands on your heart. So, like we talked about, the healthy fear comes from a knowledge of God, which is on your heart. And then fear and serve him. And I think that, speaking just for myself, the desire to serve God in any way that I can also helps me to get to know him and helps me get to know his character, because he's the one that tells me how he wants me to serve. He's the one that told me to give this message about fear. And it first of all, came from a song. Do you guys, how many people listen to WBCL or K-Love, right? So there's a song by a guy named Zach Williams, and it's called Fear, He Is a Liar. Have anybody heard it? I'm going to read just some of the lyrics of this because it spoke to me, and that's what kind of started me down this road, was first the song, and then after a few weeks, a Bible study discussion about fear generated the rest of this understanding and desire to study more and gain more understanding to be able to deliver this message. So here's some of the lyrics. It says, when he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, and he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough, fear, he is a liar. And the one that really got to me, because I told you all, I was incarcerated, I spent time in prison, says, when he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. I felt that. I felt like I was so horrible of a person for the crime that I had committed that might be the reason. I might be the only one that God's grace wasn't good enough for. And I spent time in that place. And I have a heart for other people who spend time in that place. And so that's really kind of generated all of where this came from originally.
Mm-hmm. Back into the Deuteronomy scripture, it says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. I'm a huge studier of end time stuff, and one of the things that everyone gets afraid of is the mark of the beast, right? But I want to say this. How do we worship God? We worship him in spirit and in truth. This scripture says, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them to your foreheads. How many of you know that when you read about the mark of the beast, it's the mark gets put on your wrist, your hand, and it gets put on your forehead? What that scripture is saying is, if you want to act and think and believe like the beast, that's going to be the problem. But if you want to act and think like the Lord, that's what's going to be the salvation part of it. You're not going to take the mark of the beast because you've got the Lord in you. You've got the Spirit in you. You have a heart for the Spirit. You don't have a heart for the beast, okay? So this knowledge that we have up here, we got to let it get down into here. Mm-hmm. This knowledge that we know about, we walk around with a head full of knowledge, we got to get it down here in our hearts. So what does it take to increase this healthy fear of the Lord or reverence?
First of all, immerse yourself in God's word. Reverence of God increases with our knowledge of his character and authority. We learn from the events and teachings in scripture, and our hearts will be drawn to the proper reverence towards God. Study your Bible. Attend a Bible study. Get involved in a small group. Take notes during the messages. I personally feel like I absolutely love coming here Sunday and worshiping and hearing the message or giving the message, but it's not enough to sustain me for the week. I have to be involved more in God's word, because then is when I'm going to know his character, by understanding something that he did in scripture, by understanding how he handled or reacted to that situation helps me to know how he's going to deal with me and what he's putting in my heart and how to understand that.
When we were discussing this, you brought up some Psalms. Now, you're in my territory now because I like Psalms. But you brought up one of my favorite ones is Psalm 139. You brought it up, verses 7 through 10. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn or settle way on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So you say we need to recognize moment by moment God's continual presence. We need to cultivate a mindset that is always aware of God's presence in all we do and see. That was one of the things that you told me. What are a couple of other things? You said pray to God. Pray. What are we praying? Pray that God would reveal himself. I skipped around in your notes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. When we pray to God to reveal himself to us, it does something that aligns our head along with our heart and binds that to his character. Like we have to be able to take that alone time, set aside the time to be able to pray to God, so that our head and our heart are joined together with God's character. God, that's a prayer that God wants to answer. Psalms 119, 10 and 11 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalm 86 and 11 says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. If God did that for David, because David was the psalmist for Psalm 86, he's the one that wrote that. You think if he did that for David, how much more does he want to do that for you? And if we want to be someone that God says is a man after or a woman after God's own heart, like he was with David, then shouldn't we kind of do the things that David did? Mm-hmm. Some of the things that David did?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, so you say that true knowledge of God's character, we talked about, leads to inward attitude of humility, mm-hmm, and an outward obedience. that when we truly fear the Lord or have proper reverence towards God, now this is, again, reverence, respect, not being afraid, that we can have unity of the heart, what we value, the mind, what we think, and the body, what we do. Yeah. So what I want to do is I want to ask you to finish up. I want you to, I want you to say a prayer over people, but tell them, you know, one final word that you have about the fear versus the unhealthy versus the healthy.
I'm going to give you that from 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. God loves us bigger than our sin, and we don't have to fear that. We need to be in awe of that. We need to be reverent and understanding of the love that God has for us beyond whatever we might do. Because there's no sinner on the face of this earth that God doesn't love anyway.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So how many of you have listened to Rick and you go, okay, Rick's very passionate about this fear thing? Yeah? Amen. So, Rick, what I'm going to have you do is I want you to pray over these people, a prayer that they might receive healthy fear and to do away with the unhealthy fear. And then if you would close us out in prayer, and then we can get out of here and still beat the Catholics to them.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Lord, I pray that today as we leave here, that this message would reflect in the hearts of the folks who have heard it today, the love that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to touch the hearts of your people and to cast aside that unhealthy fear and the causing of being afraid, Lord, for and exchange that in our hearts, Lord, for that healthy reverence and understanding of you, Lord, that your love is greater than our sin. And Lord, teach us each and every day in your word how to better have knowledge of what that looks like in our life. Lord, create that heart for you, for your word, and for your authority in our lives as we go forward. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding us through this. Lord, I thank you for Jason and his talk show. And Lord, I'm so blessed to be a part of this community and to be a part of this body that you've surrounded us with. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.